If you pull out your bulletin with the lessons on the back, you may want to follow along. That may help guide you. When I started looking at this text, I realized that we could do an hour lesson at least on each verse. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be here a while. But we're going to turn, and I think part of what God teaches us surrounds the phrase that we see right there in the verse when it says in 12, find it on your bulletin in verse 12, it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Have you ever been asked to pray and not know what to say? Yeah. Have you ever been grumpy? Remember how I introduced today's theme? Have you ever been grumpy and didn't feel like praying? Didn't want to pray? Part of the reason I think we don't want to pray when we're grumpy is because we know what God will say. He'll say, stop that. And sometimes we think we're entitled to be grumpy. We have just reason to be grumpy. And part of it is, I think we find ourselves thinking we're powerless to change from grumpy to rejoicing. That if I close my eyes and fold my hands, life is not going to change. So why do it? In the days of Paul, it was not easy to be a Christian. Do you think it's easier now? I don't think so. So at the time that this was given to Paul, and Paul sent this in letter form to, and it got circulated among the Christian brothers and sisters, then we recognize that in the scriptures that we have today, this word still applies. We get the part about being, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil. We understand that as God's people. We're not supposed to love that which is wicked or do that which is wicked. And so it tells us to hold fast to what is good. We also get, you know, it's sort of like the golden rule. Do unto others as they would do unto, as you want them to do unto you. In verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. And then it even encourages us to make it a friendly, great competition. Outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, don't let others set the norm because they may be having a bad day. So you, by the power of faith, do more than just the norm. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, and then we come to verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And the question is, how do we do that? We get confused about the kind of hope. There's a hope we want, and then there's the hope that we're given in Christ. If you're into football, you might be thinking, well, I hope my team has a winning season, all right? If you're up for a promotion along with others and you're competing in the workplace, you might be hoping that it turns out, you know, in your behalf. If you're raising children, you hope they do their homework. You know, and on, we might have this list of things we tend to hope for. Sometimes it can be more serious than that. Sometimes it's the lab test that's been taken and you're waiting for the news and you hope it's not cancer. Or sometimes, you know, on and on, the list can, you know the list. You may have had a list. The things that you hope for. How is that different than the hope that we have? A lot of things that we tend to hope for are the things of this world. The things of comfort, the things of wellness, the things of success, the things of temporal peace, if you will. We're going to have a family reunion. I hope everybody gets along. You know, the temporal kind of peace. And we have, in some ways, it can be a wishful thinking. It's not in our control, that is true, and yet we still, this is what we desire. But rejoice in hope is different when it talks about the faith. You have hope in something that's already guaranteed. Using Luther's kinds of words, it's made certain, it's made sure, it is most certainly true. That Christ has died for you, that Christ rose for you, that Christ prepared a place for you. And when the Bible speaks about that kind of hope that we have in Christ, it's not a wish, it's not a maybe, it's a certainty. Now what happens inside of us when hope is certainty? It hasn't happened yet in some ways. It's now but not yet. As the Bible speaks about how we have eternal life. And yes, we have it now, but we don't have it in its fullness, so it's not yet. But it is certainly true that we are alive in Christ. What happens inside of us is that we rejoice. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter all the other things that we hoped for and failed, did not come true, we have a relationship with the Father that is not to be taken away. We have a guarantee, as the scripture says, where neither rust, nor moth, nor thief, and it talks about that kind of vulnerability, we have something that is made certain and true and secure. And that gives us this rejoicing in our heart. And it leads into the next part of our praying about how it says in there, be patient in tribulation. Jesus Christ went to the cross, right? Have any of you suffered? Right? Okay. I am spoiled rotten. I have Gwen. You know, we have a great secretary. I'm spoiled rotten. I have a marvelous assistant pastor to work alongside with, right? And yet, in my weakness and sinful nature, I can think I'm suffering. I'm wearing my knee brace today. You notice I'm doing without the cane, you know, but, you know, does it hurt? Yes. And so I can be all drama llama about all the pain, the agony of it all, you know. You have your things too, right? But are we really suffering in the way he did? And the answer is no. We have tribulation, yes. We have difficulties. If you look at the political scene, there's tribulation. If you look at, you know, the crime scene, the addiction to, you know, the narcotics, the pain medication and so forth. If you look at the world with illness, they're suffering. If you look at the, not only just the flooding in Texas, but everywhere that rain just poured down, as we would say, like cats and dogs, you know, there is suffering. There's difficulty, there's challenging. But even if you add all of that together, it did not amount to this. The cross of Jesus. He suffered for the sins of the world, for your sin, for mine. That suffering is not ours. It was laid on him once and for all. So the problems we have are problems. And the Bible calls them tribulation. Tribulation because of our faith in a world that is faithless. Tribulation because we live in a sin-stained creation. tribulation because we battle our own passions within us, our urges and desires that are not giving glory to God, that kind of tribulation. And so the Bible says be patient and tribulation, and it says be patient because there is an end. When do we run out of patience? When we think it'll never happen. I've watched people in a line, a checkout line, and then all of a sudden, you know, that on their price check, on, you know, and then, oh, you know, and people go all drama. It's like, I'll never get to the cash register. I'll never get to my car. It will never end. Have you ever seen people just leave their stuff and walk out? I have, right? They believe that what they want to have happen will not happen. We've watched people at sporting events and their team is losing and they've lost patience. My favorite story is when the Dodgers were playing. I can't tell you who they were playing. They were at home. I was not at this game, by the way, but they were at home and they were down, I know, an unbelievable amount of runs, 6 runs or something like that. And it got to be the bottom of the ninth. And people, a friend of mine was at this game, people had left the stadium and they were, you know, cars were leaving, you know, the normal traffic jam after a sporting event, but the sporting event was over. And the Dodgers, they went on a hitting spree and they won. And all the people that left had given up patience, did not get to see it. Now, could they have lost? Yes. But figure it out. What does God say is going to happen? He wins. Does he say maybe? Does he say could have, should have, maybe, might? I'll think about it. Or does he give it as a guarantee? We are able to endure impatience in the sense of holding on with patience, to continue to be steadfast, to hold on to that which is good, because we know the end results. It may feel like it's taking forever for Christ to come, but it is true that Christ will come. It is true that Christ wins. It is true that we will be with him in heaven. It is true. And that fortifies us to wait. And how we wait is to be constant in prayer. And you can take these verses out of Romans and make a prayer list. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. If I'm having a grumpy day, and I recognize that everything isn't going well for me, it is going well for someone. And I get to give thanks. And because it's going well for them, then it gives me reason for joy and to praise God. To weep with those who weep. No, that's not a laughing moment. But to recognize, you know, that phrase, it always could be worse. That's not what this is about. This is about having compassion in the heart. This is about having a love for others. And when they're hurting, in a sense, we hurt alongside of them. And we encourage them. And we lift them up with words of hope and strength. On in this section of Romans, it talks about what you can do even when you're trying to be patient. It's about loving others and not seeking revenge and praying about that. Because there are days, and I'm going to confess, driving in this town, there are days it's like, I wish I had a laser that I could just zap, you know. Isn't that sinful? But it's about being patient and loving and caring instead of selfish and sinful and mean and you know, and all of that. This section of scripture gives you a whole bunch of things to talk to God about. And I want you to notice two things about this section. One is, it's not just talking to God about others, but it's also talking to God about how I view myself and others. It's not about blaming. It's not about finger pointing. It's about recognizing that life is challenging and life is rewarding. that there are good things in this life and there are tough things that we face in this life. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we help each other no matter what. We celebrate with those who celebrate, and we weep with those who cry. When you look at this, it's a remarkable list. Genuine love, holding on to that which is good. That's something to pray about. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Boy, that challenges us, doesn't it? We want to be served instead of doing the serving. And on it goes. This is a great section to turn to God and to pray about. And you will be amazed at how much time it will consume. Don't be afraid of that. But there's more here than just going through the scriptures, reading it out loud with no thought. God teaches us in prayer. He speaks to our heart. He refocuses our energies and our values and our time. And he brings us back to be closer to him. So that it says, let love be genuine. Let his love reign among us. Amen.